we know God in all this? So if you walk down the road, if you walk down here, you see when you see a big rock, a stone, a big rock, okay, a big rock, what comes to your mind? It seems to be a hurdle for you to go on. What is it? As life hurdles, when you see something like that, it may come to your mind, hey, it's stopping you. Is that a stumbling block? Or is it a stepping stone? It depends a lot of your attitude, how you look at it. Just like HSC, many Christians go through difficulties, challenges like HSC. Some Christians, when they go through HSC, they walk closer to God. But some students, as they go through HSC, they wander further away from God. So it's the same thing there, but what's the difference is in our attitude, in our mind, how we look at it, how we react to it. And it will be a totally different outcomes, isn't it? So when we look at life, there seems to be a lot of hurdles, difficulties. But if we are not prepared, when we face all these hurdles, we seem to be going further away from God. Instead of growing up, we are not growing up. We seem to be staying or holding back. We are not growing through all this. So it depends a lot on our attitude, on our response. And then it will be a totally different outcome. Now, can we look at the first passage in the Bible? I want to look at it. It's in 1 Peter. As you recall, Neil shared a lot about 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Actually, I'm using the New King James Version here. But in here, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, let's look at it. The Jews, when they look at Jesus, it's a stumbling block. Let's read further down. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, and they were destined to do. So this stone, we know, is referring to our Lord Jesus. And behold, I am laying in Zion a stone. Who is laying the stone there? It's a stone. Look at it, it's a stone. But God laying in Zion a stone. Is God laying there? A cornerstone. So this stone has a purpose. A cornerstone. When do we use a cornerstone? It's for building purpose, isn't it? So normally when you put a stone there, after you put the first stone, and then you start to build a long side to build a wall. A wall on this side, maybe a wall on that side as well. So the first stone is very important. But it's not just a stone. There's a purpose there. A cornerstone. So remember, when we see something, it's not just by accident. A hurdle there. A difficulty there. A challenge there. No. In God's mind, it's a cornerstone. God is building something in your life. So when you approach a stone, hey, there is a purpose there. It's not just something bad happened to you. It's not just a challenge coming to you. It's for a building purpose. So the attitude will be different. We have seen a lot of difficulty in our lives as we grow up, but approach it as God laid there a stone to build you up, not to bring you down. HSC is maybe a difficult thing, but it's not to bring you down, but build you up. A cornerstone. chosen. God put it there. God specifically put it there for you. So no matter what tests or challenges you are facing, God put it there. Why? To build you up. And precious. Would you ever thank God for the difficulty you faced? Would you say this is a precious time, not just for the suffering, but for gaining Christ in this here? So as we go through life, what is your attitude? If your attitude is, oh, God gives me trouble, God gives me problem there, how come my life is full of all these unhappy, sad events coming to me? Change your attitude. God is trying to build something up in your life. Building up something in your life, building Christ in your life. And God is coming, put it there, has a purpose, has a joy there, hoping us to grow in Him. So chosen and precious. And what would be your response? No, if your attitude change, your response will be changed as well. And whoever believes in Him, your response is, yes, this is difficult. Yes, this is challenges. Yes, I cannot handle it. But I choose to believe in Him. Would that be your response? Or you choose to blame Him for all this difficulty come upon you? So what would be your response? And your response comes from your attitude towards this. If you believe God loves you, and if you believe God put even all the bad things quoted come before you, is God is for building you up, chosen, and is precious, especially designed for you, set it up for you to help to build you up out of love. Then when you face it, you decide, oh Lord, I'm going to believe in you. And what would be the outcome? Will not be put to shame. If you come through all this difficulty, believing in God, trusting in Him, He has a good purpose. And you will not put in shame. If you trust in yourselves, believe in your method, believe in your wisdom, believe in your strength to overcome all this problem, I'm sure you will be put in shame. Because it's not for just solving the problem. God wants to build us up in Christ. Now look at the other alternative. Before that, let's look at verse 7. So the honor is for you. So the honor is for you too who believe, but for those who do not believe. Some people who do not believe. They see the same rock, they see the same stone, but they don't believe in God. They confront this problem by their own strength. And they do not choose to believe God. And what is the stone in their eye? The stone that the builders rejected. That means the stone is useless. Rejected. No good. Say if you want to, I want to be the first. I want to be famous. I want to be strong. I want to be powerful. I want to be rich. But this difficulty stands in your way. You hate it. You rejected it. This is no good. I don't want it in my life. Why God, you put this in front of me? You rejected it. You hate it. This becomes your attitude. When you face difficulty, no matter what difficulty you come to, and you hate it, and you blame God for putting it in front of you, you rejected it. The stone that the builders rejected, what are you building? Building your own self? Or God is building Christ in you? Two building progress. God is building you up in Christ, or you are building something else. You are building a Tower of Babel. What are you building? If you rejected it, then that stone, the same difficulty, becomes a stumbling block and a rock of offense. You hate it. You anger with it. You are not happy that God put that in front of you. So this becomes a big difference, brothers and sisters. What do you believe? If you believe in God, if you believe God is a loving God, if you believe God is an all-knowing, almighty, loving you, then no matter what comes before you, it's a building block, it's a building stone, trying to push you, trying to help you come before the Lord and gain Christ Himself. So it's the same thing, but for the Jews, if they receive Jesus, it becomes their blessing. But for the Jews, if they rejected Jesus, it becomes their curse. So the same Jesus can be a blessing to someone who believes. The same Jesus can be a curse to those who rejected Him. If you rejected Jesus, where would you end up? In hell, isn't it? So it's not about the difficulty. It's not about something, what that is. It's about your attitude, so much so. If you believe God is behind all this, and if you believe God has a good will behind all this, then you would be grateful and thankfully accepted all this difficulty comes along in your life. So it's going through the problem. Don't tell me, oh, I can solve the problem, I'm so happy, the problem solved. Oh, the test, I passed, I got a good score. It's not the outcome. It's, are you closer to God? You may get a very high score, you may do so well in the exam, but you are wandering further away from God. That's not the purpose. So it's not how you react to that stone, it's not how you overcome the problem. It's about how you are you closer to God? Are you growing more in Christ? This is the main concern. Going through, as when I talk about Christian growth today, spiritual growth today, the first thing is, do you believe everything that comes upon you is a cornerstone? It's precious, chosen by God to help you to grow. It must be inside you when you face all the problems in life. And this becomes an opportunity, a chance for you to grow. Instead of a stumbling block, it becomes a stepping stone. Stumbling block just make you stumble, failed, hurt. But stepping stone makes you go higher, seeing further away, helps you to grow. So many people experience difficulties in their life, but they gain nothing. Brothers and sisters, you may go through a lot of pain, a lot of hurdles, challenges, but you gained nothing. But there's another choice. If we choose to believe in Him, we gained Christ. How wonderful. How precious that is. We can gain Christ in our life. So today I'm going to talk a little bit more about this stumbling block or stepping stones. The first one I'm going to talk about is worry. Okay, worry can be a stumbling block. People worry so much, they don't follow God. Sometimes people worry so much, they come close to God. So worry seems to be something, a neutral thing there. So often when we talk about worry, comes to my mind, no worries, no fear. I think maybe Australian like to say, no worries, no worries, no fear. Sometimes when you drive, you see people have a logo sticking onto the back of the car, no fear. And some Christians put, fear God. I like the fear God one. No fear, I start to have fear. How do you drive with no fear? Okay, now, and sometimes when we talk about fear, Christians should not worry. We have God, we should not worry. But in fact, deep inside, you're worried. So we have guilty feeling about, oh, I shouldn't worry, but you are really worried. People can have look at your face, he's worried so much. But he said, I'm not worried, I'm a Christian, I should not worry. So first of all, let's think about worry. Is it right or wrong to be worried? First of all, I think we have to consider the reasons why you're worried. Some people, no worries. Some, when my kids are young, oh, the exams are coming. No worries, Dad. The exam is easy. No worries. Then I start to worry. You should worry about the exam. You should do hard. Then I always think about the Aesop fables, the ants and the grasshopper. You know, in summertime, the ants work so hard gathering food. The grasshopper, oh, summer holiday, enjoy life, no worries. So the grasshopper philosophy is no worries. And then winter comes, the grasshopper, no food. Then he regrets. Now, when I talk about no worries, it's not about I don't care attitude. So some people have, I don't worry. Actually, you should. Some people don't care about, just care about today, enjoying life, don't care about the future, don't care about one day they'll face God. Actually, they should worry. So, this is one point. When I say no worries, I don't mean the no worries come from the I don't care attitude. Okay? So, should we worry? When do we feel worried? I think sometimes Christians may say, I'm not worried, but they are worried. Because they feel guilty to admit, to acknowledge that since I have God, I can't say I'm worried. But they haven't done something very important. And they still remain in worries. Okay, now let's come back. Why do we worry? I think it's a very natural response. A natural response when you suddenly realize the shortcoming. You are not good enough. Say, exam tomorrow, you haven't prepared well for it. Then you start to worry. I think it's normal when you realize the shortcoming, when you realize the weakness, when you realize you are vulnerable, you are so weak. Then it's a natural response. But do not stop there. It's what comes after makes the big difference. When you realize all this shortcoming, when you realize you're vulnerable, you start to worry. Oh, I didn't prepare well for the test. I'm worried for, I got no money. I got no job. I start to worry. And you remained in worries, anxiety. The thing is, don't stop there in worry. What would be your next step? The first reaction to difficulty is worry. Seeing a block there, seeing a test coming tomorrow, you realize that you are not good enough, then you start to worry, even panic. That's a natural response. Actually, that's God's way to stir up your peaceful, quiet life. Sometimes it makes you panic, makes you in turmoil, in chaos, fear. All these feelings come upon you, overwhelm you. But don't stop there. What would be your next step is the most important. It's the action you take when you feel you worried. So this is the most important. Having that worry feeling is nothing wrong. But what are you going to do about this? Now let's look at 1 Peter again, chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxieties, all your worries on Him, because He cares for you. Cast all your worries. So it's as if you are carrying a heavy burden. Yes, you feel the pressure. You feel the weight, but don't stop there. You have to unload it. Where? Cast all your cares on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. So the importance is on Him. God allows you to feel all this inadequacy in your life. It's trying to push you back, draw you back to Him, to know Him, to gain His strength. So because He cares for you, so He's waiting there, come, come. Sometimes I purposely, when I teach driving, I purposely ask my student to go through lots of roundabouts, practice, 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 then they feel all the difficulties. Yeah, I purposely lead them to these roundabouts to cause them, you know, it's hard for them to steer around it smoothly. So I purposely lead them there to train them. In difficulties, they listen. In difficulties, their ears seem to be open to me. So it's good that when God allows difficulty to come upon us, so that we open our ears to Him. Can we look at another verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. You can say, do not worry about anything. In Chinese version, it's, you don't have to worry a single bit, a little bit. Don't worry, no worry. Do not be anxious about anything. Sometimes if we just stop there, it seems to be a command. Thou shalt not worry. You should not worry. So we feel guilty when we are worried. But actually, it goes on. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, of course to God Himself, isn't it? So when worries come, the only outlet is to come back before God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why? Because we trust that. We can give thanks because it's for our good that He lead us through here. With thanksgiving, let your requests, there our requests, be made known to God. So, by prayer and supplication, and notice the request. So all this push us back to God Himself. Now, if we just stop there, at the first phrase, do not worry, it seems to be a command. I can't worry, I can't worry. No. The whole idea is the focus on the whole phrase, okay? Come to God, make known to God. To God is the most important thing. So it's not a command, not to worry, but rather it points out a way out to us. How to handle our worry. So when the worry feeling comes, push us to come back to God Himself. That means we trust Him to take full control of the whole situation, because He's all-knowing, all-powerful, a loving God. Say, if, for another example, let Him take full control. Another example, say if you come to a restaurant, order some food, and suddenly realize, oh, I forgot to bring my wallet. Oh, I forgot to bring the food. Then you start to worry, isn't it? Because you realize, I've ordered so much, but I don't have money. Then you start to worry. And then what would you do? What would you do if you are eating in a restaurant? Suddenly find out you forgot to bring your wallet. Fiona? Who would you call?
Mom,
okay. Mom, help! And then your mom comes in 10 minutes. And then when you see your mom, do you still worry? No worries. Why? She's going to pay for it. That means she's going to take full control of the whole situation, isn't it? So when there's a lack, we start to worry. But don't stop. Oh, maybe the waitress can't see me. Maybe someone has got something wrong with the bill. No one will charge me anything. you don't have to think a lot. You don't have to worry, keep on dwelling on the fault, all this. Just call the one in supplication and request to God, and then trusting Him to take full control. I want to share a little bit of my testimony. Many years ago, when I was in another meeting place, a few of us tried to, we are going to buy a meeting place for the gathering purpose. And then after we bought that location, that place, and then I received a letter in the mail, and someone called Smith. He wrote to me, "The place you bought should be mine." And he said some other bad things, as of course. And then I started to worry, how come this man got my address? Is he a crazy person? What would he do to me and my family? At that time, my girls were so young. So I started really worrying. This person doesn't have a sound mind. He blamed me for buying a meeting place. He wants that place himself. So, but he write a letter to me threatening me. So I feel so weak, vulnerable. Who is Mr. Smith? Would he one day, you know, took out a knife and come and run towards me and give me, you know, cut me up? Would he kidnap my young children? What would I do? I was in panic. What can I do? And later on, when I shared with my other brothers, and maybe we need some help. Of course, we prayed, and then we went to see a lawyer, and the lawyer said, "Don't worry, I'll give him a letter." And the lawyer wrote a letter to Mr. Smith. Still, do you think I the whole thing settled in my heart? No. I wonder, if Mr. Smith got even angrier with that letter, what would he do the next step? I start to get even more worried about all this matter. It becomes a burden in my mind. No peace of mind. Then one night, as we gathered in the for prayer meeting, a Bible story, the whole story, comes to my mind. I'm going to share about this little story in Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah chapter 37. From verse 1 to 4, as soon as King Hezekiah heard it. Now, the Assyrian army comes to invade Judah. So when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary and the senior priest, covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. So he sent all these officials to whom? To Isaiah, the prophet, verse 2. So King Hezekiah, seeing all this great army gathering around him, he was so worried. So what did he do? He asked his officials, "Go to find Isaiah." And they said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah." They said to Isaiah, "The king said, 'The day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there's no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Syria, has sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words that the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left.'" So King Hezekiah asked Isaiah, "Pray." Now notice, he didn't pray directly to God himself. He asked somebody to pray for him. Just like us. Sometimes we face difficulty, we ask, "Oh, pray for me. Oh, Brother Neil, pray for me. God will hear from you. Oh, pray for me, pray for me." We ask prayer from other brothers and sisters. But you didn't pray to God yourself. Now let's look further down to verse 14. Verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter. Now, after something happened, the Assyrian king threatened him again by sending a letter. So Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. He took the whole letter. This time, he can't wait for Isaiah to pray. He took the whole letter, the threatening letter, come before God himself, and God, look, have a look. This is what the enemy said. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear and see. Lord, can you see that? And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. So, this story has come to my mind during the prayer meeting. So, I took the letter from Mr. Smith, opened it before the Lord, and then I prayed. And we all prayed together. So, Lord, look! This is what Mr. Smith said to you. He tried to take your meeting place. This is not my place. This is your place. Can we look further down to verse 21? Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, now, then the Lord replied, goes to Isaiah, and then sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me, not Isaiah, because you have prayed to me. That means God is there waiting for Hezekiah to pray to him, but Hezekiah said, oh, Isaiah, pray for me, pray for me. And then God still didn't do anything until Hezekiah come to God. Oh, Lord, look and see. And then God says, now, because you have prayed. So, brothers and sisters, sometimes God is waiting for your own prayer, not for brothers and sisters pray for you. God will answer, because you have prayed, then I will do something. So, on that occasion, about Mr. Smith, let's finish the story first. Have a look at another verse. And after that, in verse 36, and the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all the dead bodies. So just one angel slaying 185,000 people in one night. Wow, our God is so powerful. So this story, during the prayer meeting, suddenly it comes to my mind. Oh, then I start to... all this peace of mind come to my mind. Mr. Smith is not against me. It's not me against Mr. Smith. It's not about how Mr. Smith is going to, he may try to attack me or doing something nasty to me. I shouldn't be the one who worry. He should be the one who worried, because he is doing something against God's will. So to me, when I handle the whole thing, God, if this is not my place, this is not for my glory, this is not for my name, this is all about you, this is about your business, you are in control, I put this in front of you, my safety, the whole place in front of you, you are in control, you are sovereign God, you look over all this matter. So suddenly peace of mind come to my heart. It's not because of the lawyer send the letter. Still, I worried. But when God reminded me with his words, I believe in his words. I believe our God is in control. I believe when the matter is in his hand. I remember another little story. One time, people come to Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War in America. Someone talked to Abraham Lincoln. Do you think God is on our side? Then Abraham Lincoln said to that officials, I'm not worried if God is on our side or not. I'm worried if I am on God's side or not. God is not backing you up if you do something wrong. Are you standing on the side of God? If you are standing on the side of God, then the enemy is facing God himself, not you. I'm standing behind God. God is facing the enemy. You see what I mean? So Mr. Smith is not against me. It's, the court case is not Smith against Lee. No. It's Smith against God. Ha ha, I feel worried for him. He is in trouble because he is against God. So, I don't have to worry. I don't need to worry because the whole business is God's business. God will protect his business. So, but some people may say, I prayed. The difficulty comes, I prayed. But God doesn't answer my prayer. Really? What I mean is, God, it doesn't happen as I expected. The outcome's not good. I'm still sick. I still failed in the exam. The driving test, still failed. I pray before the test. You pray with me as well. How come I fail? I still need a job. I've been waiting for half a year, still no job. Well, do you still believe this is the cornerstone God tried to build you up? Do you still believe your God is an all-knowing God, all-powerful God, a loving God? Do you still believe this? Do you still have faith in God like that? If you are still in sickness, if you are still in need, if you are still weak, then testify God. Testify His goodness. Even when you are sick. Testify His glory. Even when you failed in the test. Are you still joyful? Are you still grateful? Do you have doubt in your hearts with God's love? When you have all these difficulties coming around in your life, seems the outcome, seems the problem is not solved, would you still glorify God in these circumstances? Do you still want to magnify His name? Do you still praise Him in such condition? When you pass, oh, thank God. When you fail, can you still say, thank God? He is love. Thank God, He is love. Would you change? Do you still love Him? Do you still trust Him? I like Daniel. When we look at another passage in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, we know that Daniel has got three friends as well. And they refused to kneel down, to bow to the golden image. And the king got so furious about these people not willing to bow before the image. So what do they say? The three people there, they say, if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. They have faith in God because they refuse to bow to the golden image. They are going to be put into the fiery furnace. They have faith in God. But I really like verse 18, the first few words. But if not, no matter what happened, if God helps me to pass, thank God. If I fail, but if not, I still won't change my stand. Do you love God only when success comes to your life? But if not, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. That means, if God deliver me from this fiery furnace, praise God. But if not, still, I won't change. I will still be faithful to my God. I'm willing to go through the fire. I'm willing to lay down my life for Him. I'm willing to testify my God and obey His words. And because of this, they obey God's words. God delivered them. We can see that. We can see if we keep reading Daniel chapter 3. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, so often when we pray, during the difficult time comes, when we worry, we pray, it seems that God did not answer your prayer. It seems that God leave you there, as if you're struggling, as if you are all this crying, not heard. But actually, He knows. He knows your suffering. He knows your struggle. And most important thing, do you know your heart? Do you know your heart? How much trust do you have in God? Do you only trust Him when things go smoothly in your life? Do you only believe in Him when He delivers you out of problem? If He lets you remain longer in the problem, then you forsake His name. Do you know yourself? And through this, you know your weakness, you know you are so vulnerable, then you come before Him, make your request to Him with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for this sickness. Lord, I thank you for these difficult times, because I can experience your grace sustaining me. I can still believe your love to help me through all this difficulty. Brothers and sisters, then you are gaining Christ. And this suffering is not wasted, because you gain Christ in all these life hurdles. Instead of just easily pass the exam, if you are a smart person, easily passed. Easily dealt with all the problems. If you are smart, you can take care of all the problems. No problem in your life. No worries in your life. But you gained little. You trust in your own way. You trust in your own strength. And you do not gain Christ in all this. Then your life is empty. But God allows all this difficulty comes in our life. Push us to Him. Just like Fiona said, call Mom. Let Him take care. It seems the problem is not dealt with according to what you expect, but He is there. Do you trust in Him? And during all this long process, remember, anyone know how many chapters in the book of Job? The book of Job. How many chapters? It's quite a long 42, isn't it? 42. Quite a long book. Because all this arguing between Job and his friends is describing something, the battle in our mind. Why would God let this thing happen to me? Why? I have been so good. I have been so good, God. And then at the end, it says, and then Job has finished all his talking. Oh, I'm so glad. Job has finished all his... Then he humbled himself. Lord, you are God. You are right. And he humbled himself, and he knows God. So it's a long process for those who are suffering. To you, 3 days may mean a long time to you, for those who are in suffering. But don't waste this opportunity. Come before the Lord and know Him. And this is the blessing comes with all this. So this is the spiritual growth. So of course you need to read your Bible. Of course you need to have fellowship with the saints. This is normal situation. But God, because out of His love, sometimes He puts some hurdles in your life to push you, not just had knowledge about Him, to push you, come before Him. Just like, remember Hezekiah? Oh, pray for me, pray for me. Isaiah, pray for me. And then one day you come, Lord, look, listen, see. And then God will say, because you have prayed to me, I will do something for you. So God wants us to come to Him ourselves. So the whole purpose of this is not to blame Him, doubt His love, but to know Him, experience His sustaining love, strength in you. This is the most precious thing we can get out of life, to know Him. Let's have some prayer before Him. Lord, we thank You that You are the precious cornerstone, precious chosen by God. And in our life, we have seen a lot of difficult situations. But we believe it is out of Your love. You want us to come closer to You, to know You, and experience You more and more. Lord, so often we rejected all this. We hate this. But open our eyes, change our attitudes. It's because out of Your love, You put this around us and help us and remind us to come back to You. Lord, we pray that You open our eyes and help us to make use of every opportunity, every difficulties, to know You and experience You more and more. We thank You for today. We ask that You continue to work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've chosen another song, Give Thanks.